This is KVNF Regional News. It's Tuesday, February 25th. I'm Patricia Naft. On Sunday, Colorado passed ambitious new regulations that will reduce air pollution from oil and gas drilling. After days of public comment, the state's Air Quality Control Commission voted 8-1 to approve the new rules. That's according to the Associated Press. The new rules include the country's first statewide limit on methane emissions, a potent greenhouse gas. They also require companies to capture 95% of all emissions from oil and gas operations. Industry officials wanted the new rules to apply only on the Front Range, where ozone levels are often higher than the federal legal limit. The oil and gas industry is a major producer of volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, which contribute to the formation of ozone. But the Colorado Air Quality Control Commission decided to make the rules apply around the state, including on the western slope. State officials say it will cost the oil and gas industry $40 million a year to meet the new, stricter rules. Paonia High School's wrestling team is the 2A state champion for the third year in a row. On Saturday, the Eagles beat second-place Baca County by nearly 70 points. Wrestler Jesse Reed won his third consecutive state title in the 126-pound weight class. Four other Paonia wrestlers, Bo Pfeiffer, Tony Darling, Zach Milner, and Ty Coates, also won their weight classes. Other area teams did well. Norwood finished 5th in 2A, Grand Junction finished 6th in 5A, and Olathe came in 8th in 3A. Paonia plans to celebrate with a parade later this week. Colorado has formally filed its bid to host the Republican National Convention in 2016. State leaders believe Colorado has a leg up because it successfully hosted the Democratic National Convention in 2008. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Republicans and Democratic leaders such as Governor John Hickenlooper and Denver Mayor Michael Hancock support the bid. Republican State Party Chair Ryan Call says the convention will cost about $55 million, but says it would also be a huge economic driver.
It's a fantastic opportunity to see a great return on investment. Jobs, construction, the opportunity to be able to help showcase Denver is not only a great place to hold a convention, but a great place to build or grow a business and come here to vacation.
A number of cities are vying to host the RNC, including Phoenix, Kansas City, and Las Vegas. The Republican National Committee will narrow down a list of finalists over the summer. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Lawmakers are rolling out a new bipartisan funding plan for K through 12 schools, but many in the education community are not on board with it. As part of our Capitol Conversation series, let's go back to Benta Berkland, who talks to State House reporters about the educational agenda this session and some unusual alliances it's creating.
Joining us today, we have Todd Engdahl with Chalkbeat Colorado and Peter Marcus with the Colorado Statesman. Todd, talk about this funding package for education that was recently proposed and why it's controversial.
Well, funding was always going to be the big issue for education this year. What the sponsors of what's called the Student Success Bill are trying to do is give school districts a little bit of what they want, about $80 million to slightly shave the backlog or the shortfall in school funding. But the bill also includes some things that education reform groups and Republicans want, such as more money for English language learners, more money for the READ Act, which tries to improve literacy among kindergarten through third grade students. But so far, at least as far as the school districts, teachers' unions are concerned, the bill doesn't go far enough.
And I know almost every superintendent in the state wrote a letter recently to lawmakers saying just what you're talking about, restore the funding and don't give us any new mandates. How unusual is that, and what do you think the mood is now among educators in Colorado?
Well, the letter from superintendents was fairly unusual. Lots of people I've talked to say they can't remember an occasion where virtually all 178 superintendents have signed a formal document that agrees on something. As far as the mood goes, I've been covering education in Colorado since 2008, and obviously there have been lots of money troubles over that period. But I have not seen people in the districts quite as mad aggravated at the end of their ropes, if you will, as I have this year.
And Peter, I know you've been covering another important issue that also has had a lot of back and forth and some unusual alliances. Tell us about it.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of ties into what Todd was just talking about with emotions are at this all-time high when it comes to school issues. We got guns out of the way, we got the election bill out of the way, and now, you know, the long bills come in. So all these emotions are at a high level. Then when it comes to the school reform issues, we had some really interesting bills in the last week or so. We had Vicky Marbo's bill dealing with Common Core standards, which, like you were talking about, sort of there's this back and forth and crosses the political line. She was looking for a timeout to study it. It's really interesting. You have all these folks from the far left, and then you have all these folks from the far right. They're not in alliance, but they're sharing similar feelings and thoughts from everything from Common Core is a attempt at a government takeover to Common Core is expensive and onerous on districts. Similarly, Ray Scott ran a bill dealing with giving school districts flexibility to potentially opt out of testing standards. Same thing there. You had Douglas County School Board, a very conservative school board, and the teachers' unions agreeing that we might need to look at more flexibility when it comes to testing.
Peter's absolutely right about what's been going on. My own sense is that the Common Core and the Colorado Academic Standards issue is probably going to fade. Testing, though, is an issue that's not going to go away. The bill that Peter referred to is probably going to get turned into a study of testing, which, of course, would tee up testing to be a hot issue in 2015. Another kind of related parent outrage issue is probably going to come up a little later, and that's the use, security, and privacy of student data.
I would just add to the school funding issue, there's so much that's being thrown around this building right now when it comes to education funding. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out when it actually gets to the floor.
Peter Marcus with the Colorado Statesman and Todd Engdahl with Chalkbeat Colorado and Bunta Brookland, and you've been listening to Capital Conversation.
The Delta County Sheriff's Department has a new tool, a drug-sniffing dog named Hoss. Haas joined the department at the beginning of February. He'll be helping find drugs during vehicle stops and on search warrants. Last week, his handlers introduced him to the Delta County Commissioners. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
Deputy Drabecki and Haas.
Sheriff Fred McKee made the dramatic introduction to county commissioners at their regular session last week, and Deputy Vince Drabecki followed up.
This is Haas. He's a 2-year-old chocolate lab retriever. He's only a narcotics dog, but we're getting ready to start him on tracking as well.
Then Haas gave an impressive demonstration of his skills by finding drug-scented cotton balls lodged near a filing cabinet down the hall in the county personnel office.
As soon as he came in the room, his nose went up in the air. He was instantly an odorant, and you saw he pulled me right to it. Boom.
Drabecki was trained for 3.5 months as a dog handler, then man and dog trained at the Air Force Academy for 2 weeks, and now they've been together for nearly 2 months as Drabecki trains him to sniff out drugs. Haas will also train with U.S. Forest Service dogs to learn how to track animals and humans.
Haas is a tool, like any other tool on my belt, like my, you know, my taser, my flashlight. He's just another tool, but he's a very good tool. And at this point, his nose has proven to be very sensitive, and he's very accurate.
Haas will be loaned out to other agencies as time will allow, according to Sheriff McKee. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Stay tuned for the Tuesday morning music mix with Ashley. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.